All right. I assume this is recording. This is Josh Rackless. Welcome to Celebrity. I don't know what this show is called. This is the worst day of my life. We'll get into it in a second. It's Monday, October 4th, 2021, 7:14 p.m. And today's guest is Mari Riseberg. Did I pronounce that right?
Close. Riseberg is my last name.
Oh, man. Because you just said Mari. I'm like, well, I know this. But then you didn't say.
I didn't say my last name. Sorry.
Man, you tricked me. Now I look like a fool on my own show.
It's all good.
Do you want to know why this is the worst day of my life?
Absolutely, please.
Okay. Well, actually, you know what? I've probably had worse days. But let's see. It's been tough because, like, even just with my internet, my computer was broken. I had to get it fixed last week, so I didn't have a laptop for a while. And then the internet in the house went down for a few days. Didn't get it back till Sunday night. And then last night, just before bed, my Instagram was disabled. I'm like, what? Don't do that. I've used this for like 10 years. So I'm stressing about that. And then this morning, I couldn't get into Facebook, but then it looks like all of Facebook is down anyways.
No one could get in.
So that's fine. That was the okay part. And then what else am I upset about? Oh, right. I was just fighting with my hosting plan because I've got this guy building me a website and it's not working at all. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to renew the hosting. And so I just said, can I just cancel, like not renew it? Like it renewed automatically yesterday or something or today. And they're like, oh, you can't do, there's a 24-hour grace period. And I'm like, what is it? Like 25 hours now? And it just, oh, all these little things, they're just building up. So you're getting me at my best. So I'm just going into this cold here because we booked this appointment like a couple of months ago, right?
So we did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't remember how I met you. It was either Podmatch or just randomly on Instagram or LinkedIn. But was it Podmatch?
I think it was on Podmatch.
If you're on Podmatch, it was probably Podmatch.
Yeah.
And okay. What are you going to teach me?
What am I going to teach you? Oh my gosh. On the spot. I love it. Well, I'm all about creativity and I have a very unique history of a creative life. I am a dance movement therapist, but I also have a degree in acting. I was a trapeze artist for quite some time. I essentially grew up in the circus a little bit as a kid, had a 30-foot labyrinth in my front yard, grew up in the Pacific Northwest. And yeah, so bits and pieces.
Yeah. So you grew up in the Pacific Northwest.
I did.
What does that mean? Northwest, like Seattle?
Portland.
Portland. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. I was in Portland once. They have tiny little blocks.
Yes.
So you feel like, oh, look, I've gone three blocks, but you've gone like 3 feet. It's very cute. And they now have lots of riots and stuff. Are they still rioting? It's like,
I don't know that they still have riots. I know there were several consecutive days of rioting this past year.
Didn't Antifa take over like the downtown and they've started their own country or something? That sounds fun.
Yeah.
So that's good. Sounds like a good place to visit. And so that's sort of where you grew up with
that's
big,
where I grew up.
With a big maze on your front lawn?
Not a maze, a sacred geometric walking path.
Oh, so that's like a maze, but more expensive?
I don't know that it's more expensive. It was mown into the grass. And it's not like the hedge maze in the movie. It's like the Chartres Cathedral labyrinth in France.
So 30 feet, like 30 feet, like to walk through it, or 30 feet high? No.
Oh, wide, not high.
30 feet wide. Oh, like so the whole square would be 30 feet and then, or like a diagonal, like a 30 foot television. And then it would be within that.
Yeah. So. Okay.
All right. So your parents mowed that into the lawn?
My mom did. Yeah. She's a labyrinth facilitator.
That's her job? Labyrinth facilitator, or just for that specific labyrinth?
No. She's a certified labyrinth facilitator and has done labyrinth walks for many people around the Pacific Northwest.
This is a new job I didn't know existed.
Right?
and now I feel like, you know, have I been conned by non-certified labyrinth facilitators? Like I didn't
truly
know
possible.
You didn't know you needed a certification. I was listening to a podcast last week with James Altucher and the woman he was coaching on how to make millions. She was saying she's a certified, what is she a certified? Certified, something to do with affiliate market, like affiliate connector or something. And he's like, affiliate or certification. It's mostly BS, you know, whatever. But she, but sometimes certification matters. Like it means, well, like in those situations, more about the brand. Oh, you were certified by Oprah or something. It means
you're, right.
You get to wear that brand. But I guess she's, you know, certified so that you don't get lost in the labyrinth or something.
Yeah. There's only one path. You walk in and out the same path.
Oh, so it's not.
So it's like a meditative walk. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's kind of exciting. That sounds pretty idyllic to have that on your lawn, and you would just walk that in the mornings and be all zen. Okay. So then, and then who was in the circus? What was going on there?
Well, I grew up down the street from a trapeze school. Oh. And so at three, I was enrolled in trapeze school, and I started performing when I was three with the trapeze troupe and continued until I was 20 and toured with them across the country and learned how to, you know, ride a unicycle, walk on stilts, juggle, do all sorts of circus-ish things.
Wow. It sounds like you were like raised in a Tim Burton movie or something. Like this all sounds
very possible.
Ridiculous. Okay. So then you were doing your thing. So then, so you sort of did that on the side while you were going to school or something, or were you like homeschooled or something in the kitchen?
No, I was going to school and that was my after school activities.
Right. Right. Was everybody impressed with that? They're like, oh, that's cool that you're doing trapezing.
I don't know if it was all that impressive. There were a lot of things like that in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, like so in Portland, it's nothing. They're like, oh, we're pleased.
Right, it's normal.
You got a labyrinth and you're going to circus school, whatever. I'm riding unicorns and whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, so, okay, not a big deal. But for those of us in the Canada or the East Side, they're like, what? That sounds like fantasy land. Okay, so then you're 20 and now you're too old to trapeze.
And so I went to acting school.
Oh, very cool. So where do you go to acting school?
I went to the Hart School, which is the Performing Arts Conservatory connected to the University of Hartford in Hartford, Connecticut.
And they call it Hart School.
Yes. H-A-R-T-T.
Oh, and what's that short for? Or what is that?
It is someone's name. It's named after.
Oh, so someone. It happens to be in Hartford, but it's a different spelling of Hart, but it doesn't have to do with like the Hart.
Correct.
But their logo should be a heart anyways, just to add to the whole thing. Okay, so that's a acting school. So it's like a university acting school or something?
Yeah, conservatory program. Wow. So 4 years in Connecticut and then moved to New York City to pursue the wide world of acting and performing. And
wow.
Yeah.
And then how did that go?
It, you know, it was an interesting experience. The, you know, submitting yourself or trying to get an agent, that whole thing wasn't really something that I had a lot of desire or drive to do like other people in my class or friends of mine that I met. And so I ended up singing with an Irish band instead. And I was a nanny and did that for 3 years. And then I decided I wanted to do something completely different and was introduced to the creative arts therapies.
So yeah, so you took the acting for 4 years, but you didn't really have the drive or the desire to do like auditions and to hustle and to look for roles.
Yeah, I mean, I did a little bit of it, but I think my true passion was not really there. Like the pounding the pavement, just navigating the world of rejection.
Yeah, you gotta want it. My sister went to like 4 years of musical theater university.
Yeah.
But she did not have I think maybe she went to one audition. Oh, they don't like me. And that was it. Like she can't take it like emotionally.
Yeah.
So she never pursued that. And I got her in a couple of commercials because I was writing commercials. I didn't cast her, but I asked her to audition. And then I let other people say, hey, she's the one. I'm like, okay, great. So she got into the actors union and everything, but she still couldn't bring herself to do it, which is too bad, but whatever. Maybe I can force her daughter to do it. So that's okay. So then you had the New York life and then, okay. So then you're singing with the Irish band for 3 years. Okay. So creative therapy. So my sister actually went into musical therapy to do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. She got a master's in music therapy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's either musical therapy or music therapy. I forget which it is. I think it must be music therapy.
Music therapy. Yeah. Yes.
musical therapy would just be like therapy, but you're singing it. you should just not focus on the past, do what you can today or whatever. Maybe that should be my thing. I could be a musical therapist.
Yeah.
Okay, so how did you get introduced to that?
The creative arts therapy, I was having a conversation with my dad on the phone, and he is a therapist. And so he said, well, have you looked at the creative arts therapies? And I hadn't, and I didn't even know that there was drama therapy or dance therapy or music therapy or art therapy. And so I looked at all of them, and dance therapy was the one that spoke to me the most, and how movement had impacted my own life in such a positive way. And that's what I started looking into. So I went and looked at a bunch of universities. There are only 5 accredited dance movement therapy programs in the United States. And so I looked at 3 of them, and I chose to come to Colorado and go to Naropa University, a Buddhist inspired university in Boulder, Colorado.
Hmm. Very nice. Yeah. And so how long does that take?
That was 3 years.
Another 3 years.
Another 3 years. And then 2 additional years on top of that to get licensed as a licensed professional counselor in the state of Colorado. And so it took 5 years to get.
Was it fun? Did you live in like a residence while you were in school for it? And it was like so cool.
No, I did not. I wish that would have been great. No, but it was a unique experience, a very experiential learning. All of my classes, we sat on meditation cushions, so not traditional desks.
So like on the floor or like a giant cushion?
Okay. No, like everyone had their own meditation cushion on the floor. Mm. And you had all of your classes in that fashion. And you had meditation class, and you had, you know, all of your skills classes and dance therapy classes. And yeah, so
very frou-frou. I don't know if that's the right word, but
very unique. Definitely not what people expect going to grad school.
Very the kind of thing people would make fun of when they're making fun of like liberal arts degrees, going, what do you have your gender studies masters? Like, what do you get a real job? That kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you're sitting on your cushions. That's good. All right. So then 5 years of that. So now you're like 80 years old. And then what?
So then I started combining my degrees in acting and psychology to create a program called Sustaining Creativity that I initially started working with performers around. And now I share it with performers and non-performers as a creativity coach and a dance movement therapist. And that's how I work my creativity into everyone's everyday life.
Okay. So yeah, you're basically like a stick of incense come to life. Like, you're doing all the little things. If for people who can't see you, if you're not watching this on YouTube, you've got like your flowered shirt. Actually, it's not even flowers. That's like the universe in your shirt or something.
It is.
With like hands with eyeballs or something. And then you've got like a tree growing out of like a head in the background on a picture, and then a little plant. And that's probably like a lucky plant of some sort. And yeah, lots going on. And you're a ginger, which I like.
I am. Yes.
You can tell from my eyebrows that I am as well.
Oh, excellent.
Actually, I could drag it over. Do I have it here? There's a picture of me that my aunt just passed away, and she had a picture of me as a kid, and it's got like red hair in it, but whatever. Nobody cares. So what city are you in now?
I'm now just outside of Denver, Colorado.
Okay. So you stayed in the area where you were doing school and everything. Is Denver nice?
Denver is beautiful. Yeah. Lots of sun, lots of snow.
I don't like snow.
Lots of outdoor space. I went on a nice walk today. Lots of open space. It's really beautiful here.
My mom asked if I'd been out today. I'm like, no. She's like, it was beautiful out. I'm like, why didn't you go out? I'm like, I don't know, but I didn't want to get into, I was up till 2 a.m. fighting with Instagram support, and then I couldn't sleep. And then I was, what was my point? It was nice out. Oh, and she said, I said, I can go for a walk after dinner. And she said, oh, you'll go for your constitutional. And I'm like, yeah, I want to go for my nightly constitutional. And then I was like, I wonder what that means. So I asked the Google speaker, because I always thought like Google just said, no, it just means like, you know, your constitution is the makeup of your body. And if you go for a walk, it improves your constitution. I'm like, oh, I always thought it like was for your digestion. So all the food goes through you and you go to the bathroom, but maybe I'm confusing constipation with constitution. So, and my mom's like, yeah, I think you are. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's why my politics marks were bad. That makes sense. but yeah, so in Denver, you could go on a lovely constitutional every day.
Yes.
That's quite the life. So then, how long have you been? Okay. So how long ago was that? The school graduation?
That was 11 years ago.
Oh, so this is now. Okay. So we just fast forwarded 11 years. So 11 years ago, you finished your 2-year certification after the 3-year school. And you've, yes, been in Denver for 11 years doing all this frou-frou stuff?
I've been in Denver since 2007, so longer than 11 years.
That's like 14 now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, but 2 years was doing the certification.
3 years of grad school, 2 years postgraduate work.
Yeah.
And now.
And then 11
a dance
years.
Dance movement therapist.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And then so how does it, like, what do you do on Podmatch? You're meeting people, you're being a guest?
I am. And then I also have my own podcast called Sustaining Creativity Podcast, where I interview people from around the world about their experience of creativity.
Ah, that's a good idea. See, it's interesting to have a topic for your podcast, as opposed, yeah, to me, who is like, I don't know, I'll talk to people who want to talk to me because I'm lonely. But then I kind of pretend it's like, oh yeah, we're learning things. Like, you know, I'm teaching. So I don't know what the heck this is, but hopefully people like it, or it doesn't matter really. Because, yeah, whatever, screw them. so then, okay. So how many people listen to your podcast, you know?
I don't know how many people listen. And we have a very small niche following.
Yeah. But they, yeah, they say that's what's better. Like it's, I mean, if you can have an actual niche following that's loyal and they actually like what you're talking about. Cause I probably have zero following because I don't even know what I'm talking about. But if I picked a topic like, hey, I specifically talk about golf courses in Orlando or something, then there'd be people who listen would be like, this is what I like to listen to, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's kind of cool. And so what do you do when you're a guest on podcasts? Do you promote your work? Like, is it to get more clients, or why do you go on the shows?
Why do I go on podcasts? Cause I think it's important to talk about creativity. So more people have more information about how important creativity is in our life and how it's not just for certain people, how I believe everyone has the capacity to be creative, but it's like any other muscle, you have to flex it and use it. So continue support you.
I just thought of one aside and then we'll go back to that. What do you use to record your podcast interviews with? Like when you're doing your show?
I use Zoom.
Okay. Cause I keep thinking I should upgrade to like Squadcast or whatever, like so that it's recording on both ends and then it's like really good quality. But I still haven't done it. So hopefully this sounds good enough. But I did an interview a couple of days ago and it kept cutting out the internet and I'm like, what's going on? So I'm gonna have to go and edit and try to salvage it. And then the internet completely died the next day. So it was a cable outside. I'm like, ugh. But if I'd been using Squadcast, actually, I don't even know if that would have helped actually. Maybe it would have, because it would have recorded them on both ends and then merged it. So that'd be better, but whatever, people can deal with it. Like I listened to Tim Ferriss interview Richard Branson and sounded like Richard was like in a tin can on his island or something, but it doesn't matter because it's like you want to hear that person talking.
Exactly.
Okay. So then, all right. So you teach people that anybody can be creative and all of that. Okay. So
way to minimize it. Yeah. Teach them to be creative and all of that, whatever it is.
Well, I've been taking stand-up comedy classes and what I've learned is I need to boil things down to the absolute bare minimum, like to get rid of the words. Like here's a joke I told in my class yesterday. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, I think my segue is I sort of rant about, my dating life and blah, blah, blah. And I'm a loser and alone forever. And then I go, and some people say I should get like a pet to keep me company, but I don't want to, cause pets are stupid. Here's how I know. Cause my mom has been taking care of a friend's budgie while the friend's away. And she goes to feed the budgie. And so I went with her one day and my sister came along and brought her son. And my little nephew was like, why does the budgie have a mirror in the cage? And my mom was like, oh, that's so the budgie thinks there's another budgie in the cage with him. And I think that just shows the budgie's really stupid. And you know who agrees with me? the bald guy who lives in my bathroom. Get it?
I do. Right. I do get it. Yeah.
So then the teacher was like, maybe you can cut down the opening there. So I could cut it down to like, just, I don't know. People say I should get a pet, but you know, budgies have a mirror in their cage. So they think there's another budgie with them, and that shows they're stupid. You know, who agrees with me? So like, you know, I could just cut it. You don't need the whole story about where mm-hmm. I was going or whatever. So yeah, that's what I'm practicing, cutting out extraneous content. Right. But I didn't mean to minimize your whatever it is you're teaching. I'm so tired and depressed today. So I appreciate, maybe we can use creative therapy to fix me? Is that what could happen?
I mean, I don't know that fixing happens in therapy.
Well, what kind of people would come to you in therapy? Like, is it people who are depressed, or like, are they trying to cure something specific, or?
I mean, therapy and creativity coaching are two completely different things. So if I'm working with someone from a dance movement therapist perspective, there are plenty of people who come with, you know, history of depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, life changes, you know, transitions, relationships ending, grief, loss, trauma, and working with clients through that in more therapeutic, we do a lot of history and, you know, a lot of skill building. But as a creativity coach, we're working with more present moment and future. What are the projects you're working on? Are you blocked from completing something? How can we create safety for you to then take more creative risk in your life? What does that look like? What are some easy, simple, creative skills or pieces that you could incorporate into your daily life? It's not about transforming your life, but taking little tiny steps that are manageable and easily accessible.
Right. Okay. So the therapy and the creativity coaching are two different things. Okay.
Yes.
Right. And it just occurred to me when you said creativity coach, I'm like, I think I was promoting myself as a creativity coach a while ago, because I didn't know what else to call it. Because I, like, years ago, I started putting ads on Craigslist just saying, hey, you know, I can meet you for an hour and help you with your creativity. What did I call? Oh, I called them creativities. We would have tea.
Oh.
And if you wanted to learn how to get into writing or how to get into cartooning or acting mm-hmm. or comedy or whatever, I would just sort of, I'm good at just coming up with ideas and telling people what to do. And then sometimes these things, I guess it was a separate thing, but I would meet up with someone who wanted me to write his best man speech. So I would help him write that or that kind of thing. And I thought, so that's kind of a creativity coach in terms of, hey, is there anything creative you want to do? I can tell you how to get into that field, how to get into voice acting, da, da, da. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit different than what you're doing, which is more using creativity to, or teaching people how to be creative. And I guess, yeah.
Yeah. And how to reclaim their creativity. A lot of people feel like they've lost their creativity that they had as a child or even mm-hmm. as a teenager. And they feel like something is missing in their life. And so I work with them around rediscovering or reawakening and reclaiming their creativity power, so to speak.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I feel like so many people have lost that. Like, everybody I tell, like, oh, you're funny, you should try stand up. And they're like, oh, I know, I'm not funny, I couldn't do it. Or I tell, hey, you could draw. No, I can't draw. It's like, no, anybody can draw. Like, you know, there's no, it's not like, you know, you need a medical degree to draw. Like, anything you draw, that's your drawing, that's your style. Like, and anybody can be funny or do comedy. Like, so yeah, people need to know that it's okay. Like, whatever you do, that's your thing, and just do it. So how do people find you? Like, are they Googling creativity coach or how?
Yeah, sometimes creativity coaching will come up. I have a website, sustainingcreativity.com. I also have active presence on Instagram and Facebook mm-hmm. and
I used
post
to.
All sorts of fun. I know. Well, we all used to. Now it's slowly coming back.
Yeah,
we'll I just launched my 7-day Awakening Creativity free challenge, which is a fun, playful way to start incorporating creativity into your everyday life. You can find that on my website as well.
What was your website again? Sustaining Creativity or?
Sustainingcreativity.com.
Cool. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
And then, so do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel like your life's path went in the right way and you're not wallowing in regret?
I am not wallowing in regret. I think creativity is the balm for regret.
That might be true, because every time I actually you know, I spend most of my time wallowing in regret. But then once I start doing a project, like doing even this podcast, talking to you right now, I feel I'm not wallowing. I'm sort of doing something. Or when I was in my comedy class last night, I'm like, I feel good. I always feel good coming out of it. I'm like, I did it. I did some comedy, or I drew a cartoon. Like, even when I was like, I'm always, when I was asking you if you lived in residence, and I, cause I've been sort of wishing I lived back. I keep thinking about when I was 18, I lived in residence, which is so magical. But even then, instead of going to the bar, I preferred to stay in and work on a song I wrote, or record it with my friends in the bathroom for the acoustics. And so I loved being creative and creating things. So, I mean, that's maybe just me, but I think a lot of people enjoy that. Like, you always see people get excited if they go to a paint night, or they make a mug, or they write a little poem or something. That's what my sister's working on. She's started writing haiku poetry for herself and found it very therapeutic. And then she started her own Instagram business, like, where she's got a big community, and every day she gives them a prompt on the first line of a haiku poem, and there's all these people who write it, and now she's selling little t-shirts and mugs with her thing and everything.
How fun.
Yes, very nice. Okay, so you know, if I was making this podcast, like, it's like people get advice, like, I think they've heard about your life, so that's interesting. Would you have any tips for, I guess, either people who might want to get into, you know, the therapy thing or the creativity coaching thing, or maybe tips that you would give as a creativity coach for practical things people could do in their life if they're listening to this going, I don't know what to do?
Yeah, how to easily incorporate creativity in your life and kind of an everyday life. Yeah. Try something new. Like, if you want to incorporate creativity in the kitchen, try a new recipe, or, you know, get a cookie cutter out and use it to cut toast and make a cookie cutter shaped toast.
That's fun.
Or sandwich. Or if you enjoy going outside, walk a different path, or drive a different path, or take a different bus route to work or school, or walk the dog in a different way, or play a game. If you haven't played a game, play a solitaire game if you're by yourself, or, you know, some other board game or card game with other people.
Yeah, these are all good ideas. I found, like, even just, I mean, they say that taking a different route or like anything like that is good for keeping your brain sharp. And like, cause if you're just driving the exact same thing, you're not really thinking anymore. You're just reacting, or you're just on autopilot. And even when I went for a walk a couple of weeks ago, it was the election, and I was helping put flyers on houses, and they gave me some areas near the house where I've been for a couple of years, but I'd never gone those blocks. And I'm like, oh my God, look at these neighborhoods. Like, and this is all near the house, but just because I was going a different direction and seeing all these new neighborhoods, it sort of opened up this whole new world to me. So that's definitely worth doing. And just cute little things. Like, I was reading today, I got an email from an accountant, and I think maybe it was her. And she was saying she thought she was taking some other woman that was teaching her about phone detoxes, and suggested she make a little bed for her phone to put it to bed at night. I don't know if that was the teacher's suggestion or she did that on her own, but yeah, she made a little bed out of sort of recycled goods from her blue box. And now she puts her phone on this little bed, and everybody, she's been having a good laugh about it every night and whatever. So just little things like that. Cause that, I don't know, I find it brings me joy just to, when I, even as a kid, I used to make little puff balls with googly eyes, or my friend would draw board games, and I was always jealous of him, or I'd make little homes for my Smurf dolls and build these things. And I've always liked being creative in a million different ways. So it's hard for me to know, like, if regular people would like that kind of thing, but I feel like everybody likes that kind of thing.
If you want more joy and happiness and fun in your life, why not try some creative expressions? If you have a bag of googly eyes, put them on your plants and see what happens.
That would be a good time. Yeah, just anything. Because I find that I used to do, I don't know, I might be more likely to do something like that in residence, where people would come down the hall and see my room. They go, look, I like the googly eyes in your plants. But if you live alone and you're a grown-up, you're like, well, nobody's ever going to see my googly eyes. But these days, even with social media, you could be like, hey, check out the googly eyes I put on my plants. And this could be the background for your Instagram reels, or just for your Facebook posts, and make people happy. And that's a nice way to share things.
And maybe you're only actually doing it for yourself because it brings you joy.
That's what they say.
Does it need to be shared?
Yeah, no, people say that you need to enjoy yourself. I find that hard. I feel like nothing's valid unless I show it to the world. And, you know, I had a girlfriend 10 years ago. We'd have an interesting discussion in the car, be like, can we film this? I want to share it in the podcast or something. She's like, no, why can't it just be the two of us? And then So I don't know, but so maybe you don't have to share. It's tough for me though. I feel like I want to share things with the world, but I mean, again, I think people are different. Like just because I want to be hosting radio and TV doesn't mean everybody wants to be doing that. And yeah, why not? Right. Why can't your little googly eyes just be for yourself or whatever? I find I talk to myself sometimes. I'm entertaining myself. So that might be enough. Huh. Very cool. And yeah. So is your coaching, is it usually one-on-one or I guess you do group things because you're having your 7-day challenge or whatever.
Yep. I do group and one-on-one coaching as well.
Cool. Well, that's exciting. So, okay. So today we have learned that you can bring creativity into your life and anybody can do it and it will make your life more interesting. And we've also learned that if you're feeling sad, Mari can help you with dancing and movement. And we've learned what it's like to grow up as a kid with a labyrinth and in circus school and to go to New York, like the movie Fame and be in acting and then go to Denver and all that. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that with me and probably just me, but if anybody listens, then also them.
Thank you so much for chatting with me. It's been great.
Yeah, this is the equivalent of just having the googly eyes on my plant for just myself. Like if nobody's listening, well, whatever. I did a podcast for me, but I'm sure lots of people will listen. I saw every now and then I get a notice that like, oh, you're the number 10 comedy show in Hungary or something. I'm like, what? Like maybe there are just 10 Hungary comedy shows. I don't know, but, or I'm huge in Vietnam or like, if you ever look at your podcast stats, you'll see like, oh, it says, you know, a few listens in Sweden. You're like, what? Who? Like who just rent? I want to know who in this little country, in this little village in Spain is like, oh, I want to listen to Josh talk to Murray. Like it just fascinates me that every now and then I want to look up. I just want to find a podcast that it's like, it's a little, I don't know, maybe it's just the local show in Iceland and just imagine that I lived there, whatever. Anyways, I'm rambling on, but I'm being creative. So that's okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Absolutely. Well, hopefully I'll keep working on my creative projects. Maybe you can come back sometime and I can run my creativity by you and see if it meets your certified approval.
Oh, absolutely. Give you the stamp.
Yes.
Certification.
Excellent. And then when I get really rich and build a, and I have a mansion, you can build a labyrinth on my front lawn. I would like that.
Perfect.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.